Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Uncertainty over tariffs after President Trump sent letters out to more than a dozen countries, extending this week's reciprocal tariff deadline to August 1st. The president suggesting at a cabinet meeting the letter signals the end of talks, not the beginning.
A letter means a deal. You know, a lot of people said, we got 200 countries. We can't meet with 200 countries. We have a few trusted people that know what they're doing, that are doing a good job, but you can't do it. You have to do it in a more general way, but it's a very good way.
The president also says he plans to impose a 50% tariff on copper. In Texas, the death toll has now risen to 108 following the July 4th flash floods along the Guadalupe River. Crews are still searching for at least 20 that are missing. Sentencing for Sean Diddy Combs now set for October 3rd, a judge announcing that date at a post-conviction hearing. The music mogul was found guilty last week of prostitution-related charges. Defense attorneys dropped calls to expedite sentencing. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A federal magistrate judge has recommended that the criminal case against a Milwaukee judge accused of helping a man who was in the country illegally evade arrest by immigration authorities in her courthouse should go forward. Judge Hannah Dugan entered a not guilty plea to and filed a motion to dismiss the charges in May, arguing that she was acting in her official capacity as a judge and is therefore immune to prosecution. The magistrate judge's recommendation said that immunity only covers monetary damage in civil lawsuits, not criminal charges. A proposed bill that aims to make it easier to access government records is currently awaiting action in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The legislation would make it easier for groups who pursue legal action over government records to win back legal fees for their expenses. It states that legal fees must be awarded to the requester of government records if a court determines that the filing of the lawsuit was a substantial factor in the decision to release those records. The bill was approved by the state Senate in May and advanced to a hearing in the state assembly in June. Lane closures have started on the Blatnik Bridge as the start of the full reconstruction project approaches. Minnesota Department of Transportation crews will be conducting routine inspections on the bridge over the next 3 weeks. Due to those inspections, the bridge will see right lane closures from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. through Thursday this week. When work begins on the Superior-bound side of the bridge, drivers will see a 10-foot width restriction and a 45-mile-per-hour speed limit. Transportation officials are warning drivers to expect increased traffic delays. One person was killed in a multi-vehicle collision near the village of Luck this weekend. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred just after 1 p.m. on Sunday at the intersection of State Highway 35 and 240th Avenue. Their investigation found the driver of a pickup truck heading north on the highway slowed down to turn onto 240th Avenue before being rear-ended and pushed into the southbound lane, where it was struck by an oncoming vehicle. The driver received emergency medical care but died at the scene. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers and the Dodgers tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's game two of the Brewers and Dodgers in Milwaukee. Last night, Andrew Vaughn, picked up in that trade with the White Sox for Aaron Savalier, arrived in Milwaukee past midnight after being called up Sunday. Vaughn at the plate, bottom of the first with two on, FanDuel, Wisconsin.
And what a spot for Andrew Vaughn right away. And Vaughn sends it way back, and welcome to Milwaukee! How about that, Andrew Vaughn?
The Brewers went on to win 9-1 over the Dodgers. Vaughn, only the fifth player in franchise history to hit a home run in his first at-bat as a Brewer.
That's pretty cool, just to be a part of something bigger myself, being a part of the Brewers, and he definitely blacked out running around the bases. It was special.
Basketball, the Bucks have restructured Andre Jackson Jr.'s contract to push back his payday for guaranteed money, but adds to the total amount he'll receive as a point guard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly cloudy and mild, with highs making it to the mid-80s. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe, and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 81 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Jobs for someone with autism. Programmer. Teacher.
WIN by Autism Speaks helps businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
How about a healthcare worker?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/WIN.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zummers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is now 6 minutes, as we said, past three on this Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you in here at the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison on State Street. Overcast skies, although some sun peeking through here. Pretty seasonable day. Some rain showers across parts of the state. Maybe a garden variety thunderstorm. There's a term that we don't use often enough, Zommers. Garden variety. I like that.
Yeah, or it reminds me of, what am I thinking, like, not your average bear or other phrases right, like that.
Yeah. A little Yogi Bear. It's a garden variety thunderstorms, nothing to worry about. So Mike Clemens will keep us updated. The Brewers get a big win over the Dodgers. How about that last night? Some excitement around the Dodgers right now. Or Dodgers, around the Brewers right now. Be with us on Friday, by the way, from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Kreitlow is going to be along to help help us give away 4 Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a game to be named later in our club level seats. Be with us on Friday, all across Civic Media for a free ticket Friday. Cannot wait for that. Coming up in a minute, a little what's worse for you. First of all, a little breaking news for you. From CNN at this hour, the Supreme Court has backed President Donald Trump's effort to carry out mass firings and reorganizations at federal agencies, putting on hold a lower court order that had temporarily blocked the president from taking those steps without approval from Congress. In an unsigned order, the high court said that lower courts had stopped the plans based on the administration's general goals rather than specific agency, quote, reduction in force, unquote, efforts to drastically cut government employees. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, a member of the court's liberal wing, dissented. The case stems from an executive order Trump signed in mid-February that kicked off the process of significantly reducing the size of federal agencies, an issue the president campaigned on last year. But federal departments are created by law, and lower courts have repeatedly held that the White House can't unilaterally wipe them out or leave them so short-staffed they cannot carry out their legal responsibilities. The lawsuit was filed by more than a dozen unions, nonprofits, and local governments who have billed it as the largest legal challenge to the Trump administration's efforts to downsize the federal workforce. story is still breaking. It will be updated. Again, the Supreme Court now saying that Donald Trump can, in fact, carry out mass firings in federal agencies, at least for now. Unsigned order. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, a member of the court's liberal wing, dissented. I'm not sure, not clear, if she is the only justice that dissented. That will be an interesting part. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn, who is an attorney on the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up immediately following our program, will be here. My gut tells me that she will be addressing this breaking news and breaking it down for you. 10 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we will be joined by Amy Berrio of Clean Wisconsin on a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling concerning JCRAR. You say, Todd, what the heck is JCRAR? We'll break it down for you. In essence, it's a subcommittee of the full Wisconsin legislature. You got a couple of yahoos on there that said, well, you know, we could just let the power go to our heads and we'll vote in this committee to control certain funds of Wisconsin taxpayer money, even though the full legislature majority said differently. And even though the governor signed that into law, we're on a little power trip here and we're going to withhold this money for political clout. That's a simplistic answer, but we'll break this down more precisely with Amy Berrio at the bottom of this hour and what it means in terms of PFAS, and other environmental concerns. So continue to stay with us. Looking forward to that conversation. And Amy's going to be right here sitting next to us in the studio. Always fun when that happens. We have guests right here. But right now at 11 past 3 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 11 news, talk, sports stations, the Civic Media Radio Network, the largest radio network in Wisconsin behind only Wisconsin Public Radio. They're a private, publicly held entity. We're private, so we like the largest private radio network in Wisconsin. How about that? And now, in three states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan, in the UP.
Up in the UP.
So how
about
that?
Yet to be finalized, but I mean, it's happening. It's just happening. It just takes time for this all.
Why, were we supposed to say anything?
No, I just mean technically we're not there yet. But
It's on the map. I'm looking out through the glass right now.
No, they announced.
Put the markers on the map.
It's just acquisition takes a while with the FCC, but for all intents and purposes, yes. I just shouldn't have said anything.
No, in fact, I appreciate the fact that you did because I find it very funny. We're expanding. We're expanding to three states. We're moving on up, as they used to say on the Jeffersons. All right, this is fantastic because I think a lot of us, you look at the news of the day and you say, I'm just sick. I'm sick. And other people say, I'm physically sore. I'm ill. And I like, my friend Sam likes to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So today's what's worse, being sore or being sick? What's worse, being sore or being sick? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today at your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your search engine in your app store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark in Prairie du Sac has been waiting a long time. Mark, I know you probably want to say something else, but before you get into the political stuff, how about a little what's worse for us quick here, Mark? Being sore or being sick, what's worse?
It's probably being sick because, you know, that you can probably get a, you know, massage the soreness out of yourself, and you know, being sick sometimes you just can't get rid of that, and that, I'll leave it there. But right. I called in earlier, you know, that Ronald Reagan's speech, even though there was a lot I disagree with Reagan on, and that he was right. And I mean, the fact that we are going to be spending more on ICE than the Russians just, spend on
just,
their
Just, Mark, I'm going to let you finish. But for those that weren't listening earlier, I played this cut from Reagan when he left the White House in January 1989, his last public speech as president. And he was saying that the future of America is dependent upon immigrants. And immigrants are, in fact, the key to making America as great as it is. And that we have to continue to welcome people and they enrich our country. And as said at the time, even though folks might disagree with a lot Reagan said, I asked people to put their political beliefs aside and just listen to the words. I think it's key today in 2025 terms, Mark, a sitting president in the White House said that immigration was key to our success and we needed to maintain that. That's the context. Go ahead, Mark.
And the important thing to recognize there, he wasn't just talking about white Europeans being the immigrants. He was talking about immigrants from around the planet.
Correct.
I mean, and unless you can say that, yes, that agree with it, what Ronald Reagan was saying right there, because the current Republican Party, they just want to have, it's whites only, whites only, whites only.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we need to do here is actually have a new civil, recognizing the gains made during the Civil Rights Movement, where we made all Americans Americans, mm-hmm. that regardless of color, that we need to do this for the immigrants as well. And I don't know if it's passive resistance or active resistance, like the Indians did in achieving their independence from Great Britain, but we have to oppose what is going on now with ICE in any legal method possible, because it is just disgusting that we are going to be spending more on ICE than the Russians spend on their bloody military, because it's just becoming Donald Trump's brown shirts. And why should we respect any Republican who is not condemning that right now? I mean, that I don't care where you're from, that these guys need to be shown the contempt that they have thrust upon our nation. I mean,
and if I can add to that, Mark, just be reminded of what it used to actually mean to be a Republican. Ronald Reagan is indisputable in 1989 was the standard bearer of the Republican Party, and that was what he said. And so if you can't agree with Reagan on what he said about immigration, then you shouldn't be calling yourself a Republican today, just pure and simple, in my opinion.
And because, remember, the Republican Party was founded as an anti-slavery party.
Right.
I mean, recognizing that the people of any color
right.
should be recognized as having full rights in this country.
Always appreciate your call, Mark. Got to move on, get back to the matters at hand in terms of what we always appreciate Mark's call. I wanted to get that in because he was waiting a long time. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. All right, at hand, what's worse, being sore or being sick? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app, just like DJ did up in beautiful Wausau on WXCO. Says, Todd, I am so sick of being sore. Football wrecked my back, and I'm paying for it every damn day. DJ in the Saw. DJ, hope you can find a chiropractor or a massage therapist or something there, because that's no fun at all. I feel you, my friend. Megan, listening in Sun Prairie on WMDX, says being sick is definitely worse. Ibuprofen can fix being sore, but cold medicine can't always fix all the symptoms. Thank you very much, Megan. Appreciate that. Sean, one of our great UPS drivers in the RC, Richland Center, listening on WRCE, back in the Driftless, says 30 years at UPS. I'm sore every day, but I can't take being sick. Sick is worse. Thank you, Sean, and to all of our people out there delivering those packages for all the different companies. Yeah, when I worked at L.L. Bean, I used to try to help out our drivers as much as possible, loading and unloading, because, yeah, those men and women who are doing that, wow, it is hard work, and we take them for granted. So try to get some recovery there, Sean. What's worse, being sick or being sore? 855-752-4842. On the text line, Len in Madison and WMDX says being sick is potentially worse than being sore. Assuming one can attribute the soreness to an immediate prior activity or exertion. I was out in RC this weekend weeding mom's flower garden, helping her. So a little sore because I need to get back in the gym. That's what I need to do. John, listening on Oshkosh on WISS, says sick is way worse. Usually when I'm sore, it's because I was doing something fun. Working out, cutting firewood, hiking, etc. All great reasons to feel sore. Well, there you go. That's my point. Well said, John. If you're a little sore, It's usually because you did something fun. I agree with that. Robert McFarland, listening on WMDX, says, when I did competitive strongman, I loved being sore. It meant I worked hard. I usually still lifted sick, but it sucked. So sick sucks. I'll go along with that. All right, more of what's worse on the other side. 855-752-4842. Being sore, being sick. Regardless, come on back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. This will get you up and get you going. It's like a good workout song, a little aerobic song, a little Jane Fonda workout. She was very big, Zomers, for a long time. The Jane Fonda workout. You probably don't remember that.
I am aware of this, unlike some other things that you often bring up.
I am aware of this, he says, unlike a lot of other things you bring up. That's a very polite way of saying, man, you're old. The Jane Fonda warrior is very music just like that. And she had the leotard, and then she put the leg warmers were very big
back in the
80s. And then she'd do all kinds of aerobics. And then you had Suzanne Summers from Three's Company fame. And she had the thigh master for a long time. And she'd lay there for 30 minutes and you know, men would watch her do her thighs with the it was like a big paper clip she'd put between her thighs. And people bought them in droves. It was the early days of the infomercial for Suzanne Summers. And so then Jane Fonda had a big movie career, of course, political activist. And now she's still alive and going strong. And now retired women, they try to copy Jane Fonda's hairstyle. And they say, they take pictures in and say, make my hair look like Jane Fonda. And some of these poor women were not even born yet when Jane Fonda was big. And like, who's Jane Fonda? But yet she endures. Ooh. But yet she endures. What's worse, being sore or being sick? Being sore or being sick? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Julie in Wausau, listening on WXCO, says being sick is worse because I might be contagious, so I'm stuck at home. Good point. Another listener on WMDX here in Madison, depends on your age. Being sore when you're young will only last a day or two. Now being sore might last weeks and even might last weeks or even months. I'd choose your average sickness any day. All right. Let's keep going. Zomers up the old screen there if we can, please. There we go. Greg in beautiful Genesee Depot says being sick is worse. Being a little sore, I can still keep up with the wife, if you know what I mean. We'll leave it there, Greg. We'll leave it there. But yeah, I know what you mean. Mike in Madison, listening on WMDX, a brand new listener and texter. We appreciate that, Mike. Thank you for listening, for dialing us in. Great to have you along. Mike in Madison says, you can drink a good bottle of wine when you're sore, not so much when you're sick. Now, that's a great point, Mike. A man after my own heart. Good, I wouldn't necessarily recommend drinking a bottle, but you know, a couple of glasses of a nice Cabernet, or this time maybe a little Prairie Fumé from Wallersheim Winery here in Wisconsin. Great local Wisconsin winery. Tony, listening and watching on Facebook, Tony, we appreciate you being along today, says, you've not been sore until you've been constantly been in back pain sore, despite the meds and the insurance company refusals for medical intervention. Sore is worse. Boy, I have had bouts of back pain, but nothing like debilitating. I know people who are basically on medical, permanent medical leave because of back injuries like that. So yeah, that is not fun at all. This might be my favorite. Bill, watching on YouTube, says, depends on where on your body is sore. I like that.
Yeah, like you got a sore arm, you got exactly. A sore back. Yeah.
Exactly. It depends where, Bill says, on your body is sore. That will depend on whether which is worse, being sore or being sick. This is large part why I love this segment. Because part of it is just because I get amused. I myself am amused at this bit. I don't care about anybody else. It's just me. And I hope that everybody else is, of course, amused as well. But this is part of why I love this bit, is because people from all over the state, all over the country, will give us their opinions. And many times they're witty and double entendres and this type of thing. And I find that enormously amusing. That, by the way, Zombers, when we say pursuing truth and having fun doing it.
Indeed.
This is the having fun doing it part, as it turns out. All right, Summers, being sore, being sick, what's worse?
This is a tough one. And I think, as Tony on Facebook and a few other people have mentioned, if it's a chronic condition, obviously for you, that's going to be worse.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like for me, I'm a person who, when I get sick, I usually get pretty sick.
Yes.
Like, since I've been little, anytime I get a fever, it's usually like, it ends up going up to 102 to 104. Like, I get high fevers, much like this song, Hot Blooded, got a fever 103. it's not ideal. And I'm just out of it completely, like mentally not there. But also, sometimes, you know, you get sore and your joints hurt and then you can't do anything. You just got to sit there and watch TV or something.
Answer?
I am going to say, I think being sick is worse because I think you can do more about being sore when it's not a chronic condition.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think being sick is worse, largely what you other people said, that unless it's a chronic soreness, which is really, really terrible.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, oh, I worked at the garden too much, that'll eventually go away and you can still do other things. But boy, if you're like dog, sick as a dog, as they say, if you're sick as a dog, you're just going to not be able to do anything. Matt Middleton says,
sciatica.
Oh, thank you. Having sciatica, I can say without a doubt that being sore is worse, as sickness is always temporary. Well, see, there again, sciatica, that's like a chronic thing. My former colleague at WRCO, Ray Schrader, he'd come in and say, Jesus, my sciatica is driving me crazy. He always complained about his sciatica. Robert, and that's not to make fun of anybody with real sciatica stuff. Robert in McFarland says, I don't know if you guys have done this question yet, but if you really want to kick the bee's nest, dogs or cats, which are better? Watch them roll in. All right, have we done that?
I don't remember.
All right, maybe we'll have to do dogs and cats in the future. We always take entries. Thank you, Robert. Come on back. We are going to talk about a Supreme Court ruling in Wisconsin that could affect all of us after this. It's the Tyler Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
80% of Wisconsin's winter wheat crop is starting to show color. That's according to the latest report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We're about 2 days behind last year, but still ahead of the five-year average, and winter wheat condition is at 71% good to excellent. As Wisconsin growers prepare for the wheat harvest, other states have already gotten started, like Ohio and the Great Plains. The overall good crop condition is leading to the consensus that wheat prices may have already reached their peak. We're talking about it today with market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing.
The wheat market is just one of those markets where somebody producing wheat, harvesting wheat somewhere in the world at some time. And it just, now it's our turn to be the harvesters of things. That just makes it very difficult for prices to get any footing. Again, as wheat futures kind of fell apart after trying to rally here last week, like the rest of the other grains. But we're going to start seeing those bushels start moving, adding to some of the selling pressure that we see in the commodity space or the grain space here over the next handful of weeks.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Wisconsin farmers have little to complain about when it comes to their crops so far. You can look at the crop progress report at MidwestFarmReport.com, but that's part of what's driving markets lower. There's great crops everywhere. We'll take a look at closing markets after this.
Food insecurity is a growing problem in America. Over 47 million people. More people face hunger today than during the COVID pandemic. One of every five children in America is food insecure. And hunger isn't just an urban issue. Almost 90% of the most food insecure counties are rural. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting invites you to lend a hand and help end hunger. Go to NAFBHunger.com.
When you visit NAFBHunger.com, you should note that the zip code you use to donate is the zip code that those dollars will benefit. So those dollars stay local. As we alluded to before the break, the crops look good in the field, but that is not price supportive. Cash corn closed down a nickel and a half at $3.98 a bushel. December new crop corn down 6.5 cents at $4.14 and a quarter. Cash soybeans closed 10.25 cents lower at $10.21 and a quarter. November new crop beans down 3.25 cents, closing at $10.17 and a half. And new crop wheat closed down 0.75 cents at $5.47 and three quarters. Fluid milk prices are in the same boat. The August Class 3 milk contract is down 33 cents at $17.81 a hundredweight. The September contract down 25 cents at $18.52 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The 40-pound block cheese did see a lift after staying neutral yesterday. The 40-pound block closed up 0.75 cents at $1.69 and a quarter. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly cloudy and mild, with highs making it to the mid-80s. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and the wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Matt and Air on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff, and we'll check in with Earl Ingram, Melissa Kay, and James Kelly, all from Civic Media.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
It is 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on this July 8th, 2025. Zomers on the board. That's from Sinners, right, Zomers?
Yes, that is Wang Dang Doodle. Not original. Wang it's Dang not one of Doodle. The original songs for the movie, right. But a fun one.
I've heard this is a great movie. I'm looking forward to you said you've seen it, Zomers?
Yeah, I first saw it this weekend, finally.
That was good.
Very good.
All right, our next guest was talking to Zomers about this as well, and so we'll get into that in a minute. But before we bring Amy Berrio on from Clean Wisconsin, want to set this up a little bit. This is from WISP Politics. Our friends over at WISPpolitics.com says a split state Supreme Court today overturned the legislature's power to suspend administrative rules, ending decades of lawmakers having the power to at least temporarily block agency regulations. In a 4-3 decision, the court found the statutes giving those powers to the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, better known as JCRAR by the acronym, it violates the Wisconsin Constitution's requirement for bicameralism and presentment, which mandates any law to pass both houses of a legislature and be presented to the governor. During oral argument, conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn said overruling the process would mean reversing years of precedent the court had set. He called it the most consequential case he'd seen in 5 years on the bench. The ruling stems from a challenge by Democratic Governor Tony Evers filed two actions by JCRAR, indefinitely blocking commercial building codes administered by the Department of Safety and Professional Services and suspending for more than 3 years the ruling of the Marriage and Family Therapy Professional Counseling and Social Work Examining Board issued that served as a de facto ban on conservative therapy. Take a breath, everybody. I know that's a lot, and I know it's very nuanced. I'm going to put it in Todd terms. JCRAR is a subcommittee of the entire legislature. And basically, this joint review of administrative rules basically had the power to at least temporarily block votes by the majority of the legislature and things signed into law by the governor. And the two, this was, I think, called Evers versus Markline. Yes, that Howard Markline, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. So what the Supreme Court today in a 4-3 along party lines said was no, this small band of legislators cannot usurp the power of the full legislature and the governor. And it lists these two specific cases, one of which was saying that was making the way, basically, for future possible, keyword possible, legislation on banning conversion therapy. As they say, that's another bottle of wine. Here to speak specifically about what this means to Wisconsin's environment after all of that is Amy Berrio of Clean Wisconsin. Glad to have you back on the program, Amy. Thanks for letting me set that up, because I think the context is important to our discussion.
Yeah, and I want to add that, yes, the JCRAR, this committee we're talking about, has had this authority since the 1970s, but that was really supercharged in 2017 to the point where, at this point, up until now, the committee could indefinitely block or oppose rules. So it wasn't just we can temporarily block this for 30 days. It was then we can block it again and again and again. And that had a really chilling effect on all kinds of rules. But because we pay attention to the environment, we pay attention to the environmental rules that were stymied because of the power of this small band of legislators.
I'm really glad you made that point, Amy, because it's super important and I missed it. And you're 100% right. There had been, is it fair to say, kind of a collegial, institutional respect of folks on this committee up until 2017 where, okay, we have a little power here, but we're not going to abuse it. And after Tony Evers became governor, the Republicans in the legislature, again, Todd terms, basically really abused this to its hilt. And I think that's what brought on this lawsuit. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I think it got to the point where agencies had to think about, okay, if we make a rule, how is it going to get through the entities that this small group of legislators are listening to, the special interests? And it absolutely became abused. It was an authority that obviously was unconstitutional and was ruled that way today. And you had this, you know, I can count on both hands the number of lawmakers who had control over rulemaking. And that sounds super boring,
right.
Especially the way it was kind of written up today in some articles. But it is not boring. It is the way that laws impact our lives, the way that they touch us. So when you think about, I want protection from pollution in groundwater. I want protection from, you know, our beautiful lakes and streams from being polluted. How do those things happen? Who sets the limits? How are these things implemented? It's all through rules. So it's basically taking these big laws and bringing them down to the everyday. And that was what was getting blocked for years and years.
And again, for folks that might not follow this stuff as closely as you and I, you make another important point. We have laws, a bill, just like the old Schoolhouse Rock. Mm-hmm. Somebody starts a bill. It goes through both houses of the legislature. If it passes, it goes to the governor. He or she can veto that or sign it into law. And so we all have heard about, oh, that's a law. We can't do that. You know, 55 miles per hour, that's the law. You can't, unless you're on other, you know, interstates or whatever. But then we have these rules. And explain, if you can, in terms of at least give the example of the environment, what's the difference between what the legislature passes and the governor may sign and created a law regarding the environment and an administrative rule?
So the rule just governs the way those laws are implemented on the ground. So, you know, a law could be that the DNR has to ensure that that our water is safe, right? Maybe our groundwater, for mm-hmm. example. And then it's like, well, safe from what? What are the contaminants and at what levels? And the legislature is not going to do that. They're not going to be studying every new contaminant that's out there and then go, well, what are the health impacts and at what level? Mm-hmm. And how should we do this? And what are the ways that we implement all this? That is what the agency is for. It's what we pay taxes for the DNR and the DHS to figure these things out. And then there's this huge process that happens when these rules are promulgated, as they say. So, you know, there are experts that come in and testify. There are public hearings. It is months to years long process to get these rules where they need to be. And what we saw happen was that it would be all this whole process, like what happened with the commercial building codes, for example, in 2023, this huge process that, you know, all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed, and that's what the agency follows. And then at the last minute, with no explanation, no transparency, a legislative committee can say, nope, not happening. And so what you had was a total lack of transparency. You had, you know, it was ripe for kind of dark special interest groups to come in and do whatever they needed to do behind the scenes to kill something. And then it really had a chilling effect on agencies planning on how are we going to get laws through. You know, if we plan for this contaminant to be regulated at this level, is that going to get through JCRAR,
right?
Which is kind of ridiculous because, again, there are 10 people on that committee and it wasn't even a majority. You know, it wasn't even all of those that had to agree for a rule to be killed. And so what we saw was, You know, we don't even know how many environmental rules could have been promulgated, could be in effect right now that just were not pursued because these agencies don't have all the time in the world to go through this huge process just to have something killed at the end.
And when we use the word promulgate, that's just a fancy word, a way of saying put into effect, essentially. Yep. It just means that's what, all right, now this is going to be the law of the land. And the people up the street here like to use the word promulgate, and that's kind of become the vernacular. But I think a lot of people listening are like, what the heck does that mean, right?
It's a little jargon there.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I really appreciate your deep knowledge on this. Talking with Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin. So specifically, Amy, what are the main things that you and the good folks at Clean Wisconsin, what are you really looking from this ruling? What does it mean in terms of PFAS? And again, for people that might not follow this, let's do a 30-second or one-minute explanation on what PFAS are.
Absolutely.
And then what does this ruling by the state Supreme Court mean to that today?
So PFAS are a group of chemicals, man-made chemicals that were invented in the 1940s that are used on everyday products like nonstick cookware, upholstery. They make things stain-resistant, nonstick. They're also used in firefighting foam, so they have tons of uses. They are found everywhere. And some of these are extremely toxic. They've been found to be toxic at very low levels in the parts per trillion. So there are starting to be drinking water standards and water standards for PFAS. And now what do you want me to ask?
No, that's great.
explain what PFAS are?
No, that was great. That's a great explanation of what PFAS are and why they're important. Because now we've seen places like Wausau and other places, this has been coming up. And so what's been proven, correct me if I'm wrong, keep me honest, and scientists have said, look, if we ingest too much of this, it ain't going to be good. It could cause cancer and a lot of other things. So today's ruling by the state Supreme Court in terms of saying, okay, this one little subcommittee in the Capitol cannot change how this is implemented. What does that mean for how Wisconsinites, local municipalities deal with addressing the known PFAS in Wisconsin's drinking water today?
Right. Thank you for asking that again.
So
PFAS are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. So for municipalities, they are following the current Safe Drinking Water Act standards. But if you live in a community like Peshtigo or Marinette or French Camp or some of these other ones in rural Wisconsin that have experienced extremely high levels of PFAS in their drinking water, they are getting their drinking water from private wells. Those are not governed by the Safe Drinking Water Act. In Wisconsin, groundwater standards, so basically they get their drinking water from the aquifer, it's considered groundwater. Those are the standards that will help folks who are dealing with huge amounts of PFAS contamination in their groundwater, in their drinking water wells. And we don't have groundwater standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The DNR pursued a groundwater standard. Time ran out on that, and now they're planning to pursue it again. Again, you know, the DNR up until today is thinking, how are we going to get this groundwater standard around these handful of folks at JCRAR? Now that the Supreme Court has made that ruling, we are incredibly hopeful that there will be a standard that gets through finally the rulemaking process. It's still going to take a long time because, again, they have to start all over with this process. It's a meaningful standard, some that are actually at levels that will protect people.
And can you stay through the break? One more segment? All right.
Sure.
I just want to make sure I'm being respectful of your time. We've got a couple of minutes before the break here. Let's start this discussion. As I understand it, one of the main sticking points why we didn't get firm legislation on PFAS is because the governor wanted to hold people accountable that might have been proven that helped cause this. And Republicans said, we're too afraid that whether it's farmers or whatever, that they're going to be wiped out. And there was this conflict. They could come to an agreement on who's going to pay for this in part, who's going to be held liable. Does this ruling today mean that the rule can be or the law can be implemented and get through this, or where does this leave us?
Okay, are you going to break, or you want to ask me this right now?
we got a break. Zomers, give me the break.
Okay.
See, I asked that completely terribly because I gave you no time to answer. We'll come back, we'll restate the question, and Amy Berrio will give us a wonderful answer. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbull Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tallah Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS, or James Kelly. Yes, I can't even say the names of my colleagues here at Civic Media. James Kelly News, whichever market you happen to be in, followed by a check of weather, and then our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, with a sports update. Brewers play later on today here on many of our Civic Media Radio Networks, and then stations, then coming up at 4 o'clock, Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show. Have a feeling that they're going to be touching, at least in part, on this U.S. Supreme Court ruling today that basically said Trump is free and clear to continue to dismantle the federal government. Maggie Dawn from 4 until 6, followed by Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Right now, here joining us at the desk of the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Amy Berrio of Clean Wisconsin. Amy, we're talking about this ruling today by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, a 4-3 decision along partisan lines that regards the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, better known as JCRAR, and what it means to the environment. And right. Look, even for a guy that spent some time in politics, this is confusing to me, clearly, as we're just like talking about this during break. But and you're really good at this, so I appreciate you being here. When it regards to PFAS, mm-hmm. these chemicals in water in Wisconsin, what I had heard is that part of the reason that there was an impasse regarding this issue is between the governor and the Republican legislature on who is going to be held, quote unquote, liable for this contamination. But if I'm understanding our conversation during the break, right, that's a little bit different than the than how this ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court today comes down, because today's ruling affects the rules of how laws are applied.
Right. So, you know, what you're talking about is some argument, I believe, with respect to funding that's already been allocated for communities to clean up PFAS. This isn't about funding. It's about rules. So this is really about, you know, the DNR maybe wants to set some standards for groundwater, and those standards would apply and need to be met. I'm sure that there's all kinds of things that could cause disagreements within this rule, but there's a rulemaking process that it goes through, right, to work through those kinds of disagreements. Now, with respect to PFAS as a topic, as something that we need to get a hold of in this state and in this country, it is incredibly complex because you have PFAS that are in biosolids that are spread on farm fields. You have PFAS in almost every piece of furniture around us right now. Continually made in consumer products. And the reason why they have the nickname Forever Chemicals is because they don't break down in the environment. So that means they only have a few places to go: in our air, in our water, and in our soil. So these rules are incredibly important to start to at least take care of the urgent problem, like the people in Peshtigo and Marinette and other communities all across the state are facing. But taking care of the fire isn't the same as taking care of the problem. And we've got an enormous problem on our hands with PFAS. It's going to take far beyond any rulemaking to address, considering how pervasive these chemicals are and how harmful they can be.
Let's go quickly to the phone line, 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, did you have a quick question or a comment on this topic?
Yeah, two things, actually. I thought of a comment, which is, these rules are made by people who are generally in the civil service system. And those people, which are disparagingly by our MAGA brothers referred to as faceless bureaucrats, these are people that are heavily vetted. They have a good background in the science or experience or a combination of both. They're hired to make these rules for a good reason, and that is they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why. And of course, that is also why some of our MAGA brothers don't like it, because they actually make rules that cost, you know, a relatively small amount for these big industries.
Next point, quickly.
The ruling seems to imply that if it's passed in the legislature and signed by the governor, it should be implemented quickly. And I'm wondering if that doesn't really have a realistic effect on the Joint Finance Committee sequestering money, like the education reading program money, or like the PFAS remediation money. End of my statement.
Great call, Jack. I appreciate you. I know that you're here to speak specifically to the PFAS environmental point. To Jack's point, what are your thoughts?
You know, I don't know. So I don't know if it'll impact, you know, the about it being quickly, how much it might.
I mean, it literally happened hours ago. So we're still sorting through this, right?
We are. But I do think there's, you know, a point that was made is important, that these are experts at our agencies. I mean, there's a reason why they exist. There's a reason why they are civil servants doing this day in and day out. They know these topics. They devote their lives to working on these things. And so that's why it was so difficult to see a committee that isn't an expert in any of this kind of have this power over what is supposed to be the way our government functions.
45 seconds left. What have I not asked you? You want to make sure people know about this?
I think we need to think beyond PFAS as well. There are all kinds of rules that were stymied that are really important. And even the building codes, while it's not as exciting to talk about as PFAS, those building codes would help with efficiency and saving energy and helping protect from climate change here in Wisconsin. So we're paying attention to all that, and we are very hopeful that that we'll see progress on all kinds of rules that impact our daily lives. And that's what's important.
Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin, you are fantastic at helping us sort through these very weighty and complex issues. Appreciate you being here again today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate you. Clean Wisconsin, check them out. Is it cleanwisconsin.org?
Yep, that's it.
All right, there you go, cleanwisconsin.org. Check them out. Amy Berrio, thank you very much. Also, Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch, thank him as well for being on the show. Zommers, as always, and to all of you for listening, stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next until tomorrow. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court, in a written decision allowing President Trump to move forward with mass firings of federal workers, justices did not rule on the merits of the case, which is still being argued in the lower courts. In Texas, at least 108 now confirmed dead from the July 4th flash floods. The wall of water hitting communities along the Guadalupe River overnight, including summer camps. ABC's Lindsay Davis is in Kerr County, where questions remain about the lack of early warning systems.
ABC News confirmed the Kerr County Commission actually spent years considering a potential new flood warning system similar to what you hear during tornadoes, but lawmakers voted against the bill. Some commissioners suggested that sticking with river calling, an informal phone chain of sorts used by summer camps, would be better than installing new flood sirens, flashing lights, or signs.
President Trump expected to visit Texas on Friday. On Wall Street, stocks ended mixed due to new tariff uncertainty. This is ABC News.